Encourage you, if you have that Bible out, to be turning to Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah 20, we'll begin reading there in just a few moments. Before I get into this morning's lesson, I want to share with you a little bit of inspiration for this morning's lesson. As I was thinking about what I wanted to preach about, which always seems to be the hardest part for me, is deciding what to preach about. Some of you who preach from time to time may can sympathize with that, is deciding what you're going to preach about. And so I was sitting at home, sitting in my office, and I looked across, and there was this book on the shelf that you see before you, Fire in My Heart. I have my copy with me this morning, Fire in My Heart. And it piqued my interest because I knew what this title was based off of. We just came through a study of the book of Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 20 and verse 9, which we're going to look at in just a moment. That was the inspiration for the title of this book, Fire in My Heart. This was compiled of various lectures. This was a lectureship program that took place in January of 2003 in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And it was lectures that were given by preachers, but also for preachers and to help preachers. And it had to do with various issues and controversies of the day and how preachers need to have that fire in their heart when it comes to dealing with those issues and with those controversies. I want to read to you a small introduction here that was in this book by the editor, Mike Willis. He says, "This series is appropriately titled Fire in My Heart because the various speakers' hearts burn with spiritual fervency in addressing the different issues and challenges that threaten God's people. This is not a time for men to quench the spirit, but the time to speak out and speak up so that souls may be warned about the various things which threaten God's people in the early 21st century. Some have said that we have no issues threatening brethren today. If that is the case, this is a unique time in church history because there never has been a time when Satan relented in his attack against God's people." And truly all of us, not just preachers, all of us need to have fire in our hearts when it comes to addressing the issues and the controversies that may be facing God's people and facing the Lord's church. If as you open to Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9, perhaps this is still fresh on your minds from our recent studies through Jeremiah. But Jeremiah says, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not." Here in chapter 20, we see some of the frustrations of Jeremiah. If you're open there, back up to verse 7. Jeremiah seems to be weary about the unpopular message that he has to preach. In verse 7, at the end of verse 7, he says, "I'm in derision daily, and everyone mocks me." Everyone is mocking me because of this unpopular message that I have to preach. He goes on down at the end of verse 8, that the word of God was to him a reproach and a derision daily. And that's what led up to verse 9, to him saying that I've just decided that I'm not going to speak the word of the Lord anymore. Then I will said in verse 9, I said, I will not make mention of him anymore. It's because of the frustrations that he had to deal with. But we know from verse 9 that he could not hold it back because he had this fire in his heart. I quote from this book, Fire in My Heart, as Larry Ray Hafley says, that those were the words of Jeremiah as he wrestled against spiritual wickedness and political powers in high places. They are the words of a man yet spoken with the voice of God. They throb with indignation and frustration. They thunder with determination. Also a quote from John Humphreys in his commentary on Jeremiah and Lamentations. He says, "As in the case of many of God's servants, frustration because of fervent long-term preaching and seeing no visible results set in. And Jeremiah was ready to quit. However, Jeremiah's devotion to God and his word meant that he could not quit. The word of God was like a fire in his bones, and he had to preach the truth to the people." So based on that, I want to bring to you a lesson this morning that has the same title as this book that I just showed you, Fire in My Heart. And how all of us, no matter how frustrating we may become, just like Jeremiah became frustrated, or no matter how difficult the issues might be, may we have the fire in our hearts, may we have the zeal and the fervent spirit to stand up for the truth and to stand up for what is right. As we begin, I want to talk about what this fire means. It's easy for us to look at that passage and say Jeremiah had a fire in his heart, but what does that mean? Later on, we're going to look at other examples of men in the Bible who had a fire in their heart. But if we don't know what that means, it doesn't do any good to us. So what does this fire mean? If you would be turning with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I want us to notice from the words of Paul here that having this fire in us means that it's going to fuel our inward drive. It fuels our inward drive to proclaim God's word. That's exactly what it did with Paul. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. Paul is essentially answering the question of, Paul, what gives you your drive? What keeps you going? Why do you keep preaching? Why do you keep proclaiming God's word? Which was a very unpopular message because the apostles and the disciples went through very severe persecution. So, Paul, why do you keep on? Look at verse 14. For the love of Christ compels us. The ESV says that the love of Christ controls us. The American Standard Version says the love of Christ constraineth us. The love that Christ had for him, the love that Christ had shown for him, literally compelled him, it controlled him, it constrained him. You think Paul had that fire in his heart? I think he probably did. I know he did. He had this fire in his heart because the love of Christ had compelled and controlled him and constraineth him. A quote from again from Melvin Curry in his commentary on 2 Corinthians. He says, Paul implies that divine love holds him from straying by giving purpose to his life. It impels him to preach. It restrains him from self-serving ambition. It controls his entire life. That's what it means to have that fire within us, the fire in our heart, something that's going to compel us, control us, constrain us, and have control over our entire lives. Paul had a very similar message in the first letter to the Corinthians in chapter 9 and verse 16 when he says there, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. In other words, I'm compelled to preach the gospel because of the fire that is burning within me. So what does that fire mean? It means that it's going to fuel our inward drive to proclaim God's word. Also turn with me to Luke chapter 24. Some more insight as to what it means to have this fire within us. It means that we are going to have a deep interest and a deep passion for Christ and a deep love for Christ. You might remember in Luke chapter 24, Jesus had revealed himself to some of those on the road to Emmaus after he was raised from the dead. And he revealed himself to some of his disciples as they were traveling along the road. And you might remember that they did not recognize him. They didn't know who he was as he spoke to them. And that went on for several verses. And as we get down to verse 31, it says, then their eyes were opened and they knew him. After they brought him into their home, then he revealed himself to them. Now they know who he was. But verse 32 is what I want us to notice. And then they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures? Their hearts burned within them. They had that deep interest and deep passion. And they recalled that as we were on the road and he spoke these things to us, that our hearts burned within us. Albert Barnes here says that this is an expression denoting the deep interest and pleasure which they had felt in his discourse before they knew who he was. They now recalled his instruction. They remembered how his words reached the heart as he spoke to them. Their hearts glowed with intense love. To have that burning in our hearts, to have that fire in our hearts, means that we're going to have that intense love, that we're going to have that deep interest and deep passion for Christ. Also, this fire means that we're going to proclaim the truth no matter how difficult that might be. That's what we just saw in Jeremiah chapter 20. All the mockings that Jeremiah had to go through, and he decided that I'm not going to proclaim God's word anymore. But he couldn't hold it back. He had that fire in his heart. It means that he's going to proclaim the truth, proclaim God's word, no matter how difficult it might be. We also see a good example of this in Acts chapter 4 with the example of Peter and John. In Acts chapter 4, as Peter and John, you might remember, had been arrested, and they were told in verse 18, so they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. In other words, they told Peter and John, we don't want you speaking about Jesus. We don't want you preaching about Jesus. Notice their response beginning at verse 19. Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, more than to God you judge. Now verse 20. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. In other words, just like Jeremiah, they can't hold it back. They have that fire within them, that fire in their hearts, no matter how difficult it might be. They were putting their lives in danger. They were in prison and knew that if they were to continue to preach, that they were risking their lives. They could have been put to death for that. But they said, we cannot but speak. So what does it mean to have that fire? It's to be willing to proclaim the truth no matter how difficult a situation you might be in. Also, to have this fire within us means that we are going to have a zeal. The word fire can be used interchangeably with the word zeal. We have the zeal that is contained by knowledge. You might remember from Romans 10 and verse 2 that Israel had a zeal, but it was not according to knowledge. That zeal is from the root word zeo. Literally, Strong says it means to be hot, to boil of liquids, to glow of solids. Thayer says it is to boil with heat, to be hot, metaphorically used of boiling anger, love, zeal for what is good and bad, etc. So this zeal and fire, I'm using those words interchangeably, this fire can be very beneficial, just like a physical fire can be very beneficial, as long as it's contained. That is, if you have a fireplace or you have a fire pit, that fire can be very useful. You can use it for warmth, you can use it for cooking, and it's very beneficial and it's essential to life. But it can also be very dangerous as well. You go in the middle of your living room and just build a fire, it's going to be very destructive. You're going to burn your house down. And that's the thing with there in Romans 10 and verse 2 with the Israelites, they had a zeal, but it wasn't according to knowledge. They didn't have the fireplace to contain it. And therefore, it was very destructive. And so we need the kind of zeal, the kind of fire that is going to be effective, that's going to be beneficial to us. It needs to be contained. So that's what it means to have this fire. It fuels our inward drive. It means that we're going to have a deep interest and passion for Christ. We're going to proclaim the truth no matter how difficult that might be. And we're going to have that zeal contained by knowledge. Secondly, I want us to quickly look at some examples in the Bible. We've already looked at Jeremiah. But some of those who had this spiritual fire within them and could not hold it back. Again, we've already looked at Jeremiah, but I want to notice David. Look at Psalm 39. Psalm 39. As David starts out, this is a prayer of David. And he starts off in the first two verses saying that basically, I'm going to keep silent. As I view wickedness all around me, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to keep silent. And verse 2 says that I was mute with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred up. Now verse 3, my heart was hot within me while I was musing, or while I was meditating. The fire burned, and then I spoke with my tongue. He had that fire just like Jeremiah had that fire. He had decided that he was not going to speak out against the wickedness that was around him, but it got so bad to the point that he had to say something. And he had that fire within him. That fire had to come out. He could no longer stay quiet. We also just looked at Peter and John, Acts chapter 4, where they said, for we cannot but speak the things that we have seen and heard. Ezekiel, this might be fresh on our minds because we just studied this past Wednesday night in Ezekiel chapter 6. In verse 11, you remember God told him, he said, pound your fists and stamp your feet, for they shall fall by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. You think Ezekiel needed the fire in his heart to proclaim that very unpopular message, and to do so with zeal, to pound his fists and stamp his feet. He had to do that with zeal. He definitely needed that fire within his heart. We look at the example of Paul. Look over to Acts chapter 17 as Paul views the city of Athens, and he witnesses all the immorality and the idolatry that they are guilty of. Acts 17 and verse 16, it says, While Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him. In other words, that fire was burning within him. His spirit was provoked within him when he saw the city as it was given over to idols. And you can read the following verses for yourself there. But Paul, he was so filled up with the spirit, so filled up with the fire when he saw all the wickedness and the idolatry going on that he had to say something. He had to do something. He had this fire within him. Amos, another example of one who had this fire. Amos chapter 3 and verse 8 says, a lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? In other words, the words of God have been revealed to me. They've been divinely revealed to me. Who can help but prophesy? Who can hold it back is what he's saying. Who can but prophesy? Amos had that fire within him. Obviously, this is not an exhaustive list. Many others in the Bible had that fire within them. But how often do we see wickedness in the world and sin going on around us, and we're very passive about it, we're very tolerant about it? We don't have the fire within us to speak up and speak out against those things as these men did. oftentimes we're very tolerant and very passive. These are good men for us to look to as examples of those who had that fire within them. Thirdly, I want to notice that we can dampen our fire. There are some things that we can do to cause our fire to burn out. Maybe, perhaps you once had that spiritual zeal, that spiritual fervency, and that fire in your heart, yet that fire is gone. And why is that fire gone? There are some things that we can do to dampen our fire. First off, I want to notice, just make the point, that it is possible for our flame to burn out prematurely. Look over in Hebrews chapter 5. In Hebrews 5, the Hebrew writer here was expecting them to be far more spiritually mature than they were. In other words, he was expecting their fires by this point. Your fire should be raging. You should have so much zeal and you should have grown spiritually in the faith. Verse 12, he says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles, the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food." The Hebrews' fire had dwindled. The Hebrew writer had expected them, you should be far more spiritually mature than you are now. Your spiritual fire should be raging within you. And yet their fire had dwindled. Turn over to Revelation chapter 2. The church at Ephesus had a fire that had dwindled out. Revelation 2, in John's letter to the church at Ephesus in verse 4. He says, "There nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love." That suggests that at one point they had that first love. At one point they had that spiritual fire, that spiritual zeal, and their love for God and their love for Christ. But here he says that you have left it. Something happened that caused their fires to burn out. So simply want to make that point that it is possible for us to have that fire and for that fire to burn out prematurely. I want to talk about a few things that will dampen our fire and that will cause our fire to burn out. First thing that I have listed here is private sin. And I specify private sin. It doesn't have to be private sin. We know that just sin in general is going to cause our fires to be dampened and our fires to eventually be burned out. But I note private sin because have you ever known someone who was very spiritually fervent, so you thought? They were here every Sunday. They were very active in the Lord's work. And then seemingly, all of a sudden, they just fall away. And what was their problem? Perhaps it is that they had private sin in their lives. I have here Psalm 51 and verse 3. There before David repented of his sin with Bathsheba, he said that my sin is ever before me. The New King James Version, he said that my sin is always before me. In other words, it was a weight, a load that was bearing down on him. It was always before him and something that was always on his mind. I again quote from this book, Fire in My Heart, Larry Ray Hafley. He says, "There can be no rest of the heart that seeks to harbor the word of God while providing haven for sin. When some depart from the faith seemingly without a cause, it may well be that secret sin is the termite that has eaten and consumed the vitality of their faith and undermined their hope." We know someone doesn't just all of a sudden fall away. And the point that Hafley is making here is that perhaps it is that secret sin, that private sin, that is the termite that is slowly eating away at their faith. And then to those from the outside looking in, we think, what happened to them? How did their fire just all of a sudden burn out? Their fire was raging and now the fire is gone. Perhaps private sin in their lives has done that. And again, it doesn't have to be private sin. Sin in general can dampen the flames and cause it to burn out. Another thing I want to notice is a worldly spirit can cause that. I have here listed Colossians 4 and 2 Timothy 4. Those both talk about Demas. Demas in Colossians 4, we learn, was a close companion of Paul. But in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10, Paul told Timothy that Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. So Demas, you were once a faithful companion of Paul. You seemingly had this fire within you. Why is it gone? What caused you to forsake Paul and forsake God's word? What caused your fire to burn out? Well, Paul tells us that in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10. He loved this present world. Not exactly sure what he had reference to there. Perhaps he was chasing after physical riches of this world. Could have been what he was following after. Could have been just some physical, fleshly, and worldly desires that he was following after. But nonetheless, he had a worldly spirit. He was not focused on spiritual matters, but he was more focused on worldly matters. That caused his fire to be burnt out. Another thing that can cause our fires to be dampened or burnt out is not getting the spiritual reminders we need. And that is that when we don't attend like we should, when we're not here for the Bible studies that are provided for us, we're not getting the spiritual reminders that we need. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Just after Peter had gone through the Christian graces there, verses 5 through 11, he says in verse 12, "For this reason I will not neglect to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I'm in this tent, to stir you up by way of reminding you." There are times when we need to be reminded, things that we think we have a grasp on and things that we may very well have a grasp on. We hear sermons on fornication and adultery, and perhaps there may be some who might roll their eyes, and we know that's a sin. Why do we have to hear a sermon about that? If you're not getting the reminders, just like Paul said, that though you know and are established in the present truth, I'm still going to remind you. And we need those reminders. And when we are not getting those spiritual reminders, when we are neglecting to attend as we should, we're not getting the reminders. And that's causing our flame to dampen and to slowly be burned out. Also note 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12 there, where Paul says, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." We need those reminders to take heed lest we fall. Another thing that can dampen our spiritual fire is an indifferent attitude. Revelations 3, the church at Laodicea, we know that they were condemned because they were neither hot nor cold. They, in essence, had an indifferent attitude when it came to God's Word. Just like Felix in Acts chapter 24, when he said, "I will call for you when I have a more convenient time." Or Agrippa in Acts chapter 26, in verse 28, when he said, "Almost thou persuaded me to become a Christian." Had an indifferent attitude. He wasn't moved with that deep passion and interest to obey God's Word. And when we have that indifferent attitude, our fires will be dampened. Also, the evil influence of others can cause our fires to be dampened. I have here 1 Corinthians 15:33, a passage that we all know, that evil company corrupts good habits. That's in the context of false teachers. I also want to notice Matthew 24, which is also in the context of false teachers, but also in the context of the destruction of Jerusalem. Matthew 24, I want to read verse 12, and then we'll come back and get verse 11. Verse 12 says, "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." In other words, that their love, that spiritual fervent love, that fiery love that they once had, that love will grow cold. Why is that? Well, back up to verse 11. What caused that love to grow cold? It says, "Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many." Evil influences. And in this case, the evil influences of the false teachers. It doesn't have to necessarily be a false teacher, but evil influences of the world cause their love to grow cold. It can cause our fires to be dampened. Here, Albert Barnes says of this verse, "The fear of death and the deluding influence of false teachers would lessen the zeal of many timid and weak professors, perhaps also of the many real but feeble Christians." Again, that evil influence that they had received from these false teachers caused their fires to be burned out. And also a lack of knowledge. We also noticed Romans 10 and verse 2, where Israel had the zeal for God, but it was not according to knowledge. A lack of knowledge caused our fires to be burned out as well. After seeing those things that can dampen our flames, more importantly, I want us to notice some things that we can do to kindle the fires that are within our hearts and rekindle the flames that perhaps may be lost, or perhaps there was a flame that there was never a flame there. First off, I want to notice that you need to draw near to the source. And that might seem obvious. It's certainly obvious with a physical flame. If I have this paper and I want to catch it on fire, say this microphone is a flame, if I hold it back over here, there's no way it's going to catch fire. If I hold it up here next to it, it's not going to take long. This paper is going to catch on fire. Same thing with our spiritual fire that's within us. You have to draw near to the source if you want to have that fire. James chapter 4 and verse 8 says, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." Romans 10, 17, "Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God." We have to draw near to the source of the fire if we want our hearts to be kindled with that zeal. Another thing, we have to focus on the resurrection of Christ. This is exactly what those disciples were doing in Luke chapter 24 when they said, did not our hearts burn within us? It was in the context of them discussing the resurrection of Christ. And as they traveled on the road to Emmaus, they discussed that on the third day he was supposed to raise from the dead. They were focusing on the resurrection of Christ. And when they realized that they were in the presence of Christ, when they realized that this is he whom we've been talking about, that's when their hearts burned within them, when they focused on the resurrection of Christ. And when we base our faith off of that, our hearts and our fires will be kindled. Another thing that will kindle the fires within us is getting rid of sin in our lives. Again, Revelation 3 to the church at Laodicea, John there told them, therefore be zealous and repent. In other words, those two go together. You can't be zealous and not repent. Be zealous and repent. When you get rid of that sin in your lives, you'll have the zeal, you'll have the fire. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 7. Paul talks about in verse 10 the godly sorrow that produces repentance. He says in verse 10, for godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. Now verse 11, after just talking about godly sorrow and repentance, verse 11 he's going to talk about the things that repentance produced. He says, for observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner. Now here's what it produced. What diligence it produced in you, what clearing of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal. Talked about how we use those terms fire and zeal interchangeably. What zeal, what fire you have within you. Well, what produced that fire? It's the godly sorrow and the repentance of verse 10. Getting rid of the sin in your lives. Talked about earlier that the sin in our lives is one of the first things that's going to dampen the flames and dampen our fires. Get rid of that sin, you're going to kindle the fire in your lives. Another thing that can kindle our fire is getting encouragement from our brethren. Again, I spoke earlier about just being here and being a part of Bible studies and being a part of the Lord's work here at this local congregation. I quote here Hebrews 10:24. We know verse 25 has to do with forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. But verse 24 says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. In other words, to stir up the fire that's within each and every one of us. And some of us may have smaller flames than others, and perhaps we need the encouragement from our brethren to help stir that up and to fan the flame so that the fires will once again be raging again. Another way to kindle our fire is to use whatever talents we have. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 6, Paul told Timothy to stir up the gift of God which is in you. Now he was talking about Paul and his ministries and being a preacher, obviously. Not everyone has the abilities to be a preacher. Not everyone should be a preacher. But each one of us have different talents, and they can vary from anything. And you may feel as if your talent is very small, that I don't have the abilities to preach. I don't have the abilities to teach. You don't have to have those abilities. You may have the ability to go to someone in private and privately encourage them. And when we use those talents, no matter how great or how small they may seem, we are kindling our fires. That's exactly what Paul told Timothy. Stir up the gift of God which is in you. In other words, stir up that fire that is within you by using your talents. And finally, another way in which we can kindle this fire is by looking to those who have done it in the past. I have there Hebrews 12 and verse 1. That's just after Hebrews 11, where we saw Faith's Hall of Fame. And all those great characters of faith throughout the Old Testament that are mentioned. But in Hebrews 12 and verse 1, it says, since we are surrounded by so great cloud of witness. In other words, look at all these around us who have done it. And in that context, look at all those around us who have had that faith, and you too can have that faith. Well, look to all those around us who have had this fire within them. We just mentioned earlier Jeremiah, David, Paul, Peter, John, Ezekiel, and Amos, and others who I'm not even mentioning. Look at this great cloud of witness who is around us. Look to them. They've done it in the past. You too can kindle the fires that is within you. So how do we kindle that fire? We draw near to the source. We focus on the resurrection of Christ as they did in Luke chapter 24. Get rid of any sin in your life. Be here to get encouragement from your brethren. Use whatever talents you might have. And again, look to those who have done it in the past. I have a song from the supplement book that I want us to, before we extend the invitation, I want us to sing this song because it ties in well with the lesson this morning, Light the Fire. It's number 41 from the supplement book. And after seeing those things, there are things that we can do to dampen our flame. There are things that we can and should do to kindle the flame, kindle the fires. I think this ties in very well. Light the fires, light the fire in my heart. We're going to sing first and second verse of this song. No soul, I stand to praise you, but I fall to my knees. My spirit now is willing, but my flesh is so weak. Light the fire in my soul, fan the flame, make me whole. Lord, you know where I've been, so light the fire in my heart again. I feel your arms around me as the power of your healing begins. Your spirit moves right through me like a mighty rushing wind. Light the fire in my soul, fan the flame, make me whole. Lord, you know where I've been, so light the fire in my heart again. May God help us all to light the fire within our hearts. There may be those here this morning who have not put on Christ in baptism, and you realize the sinful condition that you're living in, and you would like to change that this very morning. Perhaps maybe those who were once faithful followers of Christ, perhaps your fires have been dwindled, your fires have dampened out, and you're ready to rekindle that fire, and we're ready to pray with you and pray for you that your sins might be forgiven. If we can assist you in any way, we pray that you'll come forward as we stand and sing.